So, Ivan, I want to start with a recent episode from your career, which was I was enjoying it very much. It's from the cup semifinal from Žalgiris and Sūduva. Okay. You were the last one to step on the pitch in the game, and you were the first one to take the penalty. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Was it the first time in your career that you did something like that? Because I think it takes a lot of like courage to do that.
Yeah, actually, especially in my position, that you are not during the season, or when you play games, you don't come from the bench. Usually you start, you don't play. Mm-hmm. Because if you need to change something, usually you change something in offensively, no, not defensively. But in that moment, I was thinking how the game goes on. Maybe if we score some goals, maybe he will secure more the defense area or something like this to put me in. But when I saw this extra time was going on, and I say, okay, now what? There is no point to put me, you know, why? And I was warming up on the side, watching the game, and in the last seconds he said, just you coming in, because I need you to shoot penalties. Mm-hmm. Okay, which one you want to shoot? I said, then if you put me, I was for sure take first one. And I had bad experience, actually. Usually before in my career, I was taking penalties in the beginning of my career.
Was that during the shootouts or the game itself?
Even in the game sometimes, but in the shootouts also, in the penalties in the end. Mm-hmm. But this was when I was very young, you know, in senior teams, you always have some very good shooters, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had one bad experience last time of Super Cup against Panevėžys. I missed penalty.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit, you know, I was not so relaxed like it looked like from the TV or something, you know. Yeah, so everybody say, wow, how you cool.
Yeah, because it looked like you just stepped on the pitch, just went, scored the penalty and just left, you know, like mic drop.
Everybody thinks it's easy. I don't know, maybe it's easy for players who are taking a lot of this during the seasons and stuff like this, the forward players. But for us is that, for me especially in that moment, is that I came, played 30 seconds, I didn't touch the ball, and that was my first touch with the ball. I need to shoot on the goal, and I was a little bit afraid, you know. Mm-hmm. And I closed my eyes.
What happens when that happens?
You always go for your safe angle, you know, where you are the best, you know. You don't try to play games with the keeper or something like this, you know, and just put the ball where you are the safest.
Because I think just a week ago or so, Mark Noble in West Ham tried doing the same. He came on like...
It was the same situation in World Cup when England put two players from the bench because of this. And both of them...
Saka and... And Rashford.
Rashford, yes.
Yeah, I think Saka. Yes.
Yeah. And after that, I realized that that already happened. But it was like a week ago, maybe 3 days ago was the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it kind of like connected for me. When I saw that you stepped on the pitch and you were the first to take it, I thought to myself, I just really hope it won't be the very same scenario. Yeah. So okay, let's start as always in these podcasts. Let's start at the beginning. You were born in the town of Smederevska Palanka.
Yes.
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Good.
It's not that far from Belgrade. You were born in 1989. So what was it like to be growing up in that city in the 90s?
Interesting thing from my city is that in the 70s and 80s we were a small town always, but it was very rich. We have some very good economic and industry. We have a factory for railroads and the trains, and it was really, really good to live. But in the 90s, like in all Serbia was and all Yugoslavia, it was very, very difficult period for our people. Everything was not destroyed, but everything vanished from this, and it was for the kids. It's not that they're missing something, but they don't have much. But just
I think it's the same with Lithuania after the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Probably
something was similar. Because
probably I think it was the same. Also the government, the politics was the same. So I'm almost sure it was the same. So you probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. When you were, because I've Googled a bit, when when you were a child, where are you going to, or when you were growing up, where are you going to Krestovdanskyi Vashar?
Of course, you cannot not to go because it's everywhere.
So what is it? Can you explain that to anyone who doesn't
imagine? Imagine you have ferries for this kind of stuff or that kind of stuff. You go to, but this is actually 3 or 4 days of everything.
It's like Kaziukas Fair in Lithuania here. Have you ever been?
No, I didn't been.
In Gedimino.
No. Avenue. It's bigger. More, it's crazy. You have, first of all, you have things for the kids, like these roller coasters and stuff like this. Like so many. Then you have food section. You have a machine section for the farming stuff. You have people are selling the homemade stuff like jam or honey or something. Mm-hmm. Like. But this is streets and streets about this. And the city is full of this kind of stuff. So the first thing you step out from your apartment is this. So you cannot miss it.
Because I think the town has population of not like some short of 100,000 or something.
No. Less. It's I think city itself have like 40, 35.
And I read that sometimes there are like 150,000 people coming
sure,
to the.
For sure. I remember all people who is living that in the city. They are so pissed off because of this, you know, for 4 days they cannot move. When you park your car, it's finished. You cannot go out. It's done.
So, you were growing up in Smederevska Palanka. You were a child going to these fairs, doing whatever.
Yeah, that's once a year. It's only.
Yeah, whatever the children do. Yeah. When did you take up football? What was the first time when you learned of football or started playing football?
When I was a kid, when I was couple of years old, yes. Mm-hmm. I was all the time full of energy. Mm-hmm. And keeping me in the house was big problem. I was not bad boy, but just I have a lot of energy I need to waste. I was running through the house all the time, always crashing something or something like this. And actually my parents wanted me to just after school or after kindergarten, just to go somewhere to run, you know, like to put me outside. And I had 6 years old. First my training, my mom took me there because she came back early from the job and put me. I remember in that period, we didn't have in our city that kind of generation. Like the beginners was like much older than me.
That age group.
That
you
age
were
group was nobody would put, you know, maybe from 7, 8 or but 6, and then first training I came there. I look my teammates like this.
Yeah, because I think there's
people.
There's a huge difference when you're 6 and 8.
Especially
for example.
In that age, it's huge difference. And one training, I was so super excited about training. But even those guys kicked me all the time on the out from the pitch, in the pitch, everywhere. I remember my mom was really stressed about this, about that first training. My father was, it's normal. What?
This is what football looks like.
Then she wanted to check again. Even what do you think? You want to go again? Of course, when? Immediately, no. And from that day, it was. I know everything just about football, and my life. I like to say my life is according to football. I don't have my own schedule. I make schedule according to football. Mm-hmm. So
were there any other like sports into consideration? Did you try any just football straight on from your childhood?
No, because even though in Serbia we have also good basketball
you
team,
have good you are good at everything basically all the team
yes,
sports especially.
Team sports yes it's very good and but I cannot explain that this is everybody who is speaking about some sport first topic is football. Before was much more, even when it was Yugoslavia, this is number one subject. And but I think actually the biggest plus in this kind of thing is that you are outside. If you put young kid again inside, you want to take him out from the house. You play basketball, you're in there, volleyball, everything,
handball.
You're always inside again. So actually I had a couple of friends who had all the time some problems with they are sick, they start to play football, everything vanished, everything is perfect, top, everything.
Because you're outside all the time.
Yes.
So, but I think when growing up and when you started playing football, you were quite good because at the age of 12, if I'm correct,
yes,
you went to Belgrade,
yes,
to play for the Crvena Zvezda Academy. Yes. So what was it like to be, well, you're 12, you're still a boy. What was it like to leave the family and go there to play there?
When I look back now, for me that's normal. But now when I look my kid now, who is almost five.
Five, okay.
Yeah, almost five in January. And I'm thinking in 5 years to 5-6 years to think about to let him somewhere to go alone, no chance. I don't know, it is a different time or something like this. But yeah, it was hard. I remember first days was you change school, you change friends.
Yeah, yeah, you still you leave everything behind.
The good thing is that when you are 12, you don't have like, you have very good friends, like best friends in that period, but you're still not even came to puberty to discuss about some kind of big subject that we are like brothers, you know, and something like this. And the thing is that in that time, we had very good generation in my city, and in that time, our club went to bankruptcy, and my father just didn't want me to be again on the street, you know, because it was cool and small city, not so much things to do, you know, and Belgrade is, you know, capital and a lot of opportunities, good schools and everything. But this story is very funny because in Serbia you have two groups. One is Red Star, one is Partizan.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, my family, everybody is supporting Red Star, and my father is supporting Partizan. And when I was really young, they asked me, who is your favorite team? I say Partizan. Why? Because my dad is favorite team. When I grew up, everything was about Red Star. And when we had one tournament a year before I went to Belgrade, where was Partizan there, and they want me also to come there.
Okay.
But my mom and father was still not sure. Am I young or? It was a little bit difficult. But when this came, with the bankruptcy came, they were sure they were gonna move me there. But I want to go to Red Star. And my cousin came in touch somehow with this coach of my generation in Red Star, and my father was in touch with Partizan. And he was thinking, okay, I will let him go to Red Star. They're gonna kick him after two trainings, and I'm gonna put with this my friend in Partizan. You don't need to play all the time or something like, because the Red Star and Partizan have very good academies. Even if you go through and don't play, it's very good. Just don't be here in the street or something like this. I went to Red Star. After one training, coach said, I need this guy. After 6 months, I became captain of the Red Star, and everything was explode.
So your dad hopes of having you in Partizan,
yes,
just
for sure,
vanished.
Even even if I was a fan of Red Star, but he was keeping his plan.
So I know that you were it was quite good time for you. You played for under 15, the Serbian, and I think you even captained the team. But then you've got a serious injury. So what happened there?
Yes, in that period was, I don't know, for me it was everything. I was thinking I live in a fairy tale, you know. I played for my generation, I was captain. The older generation took me to be part of their generation. And I was a captain of that. In that time, we were Serbia and Montenegro, still one country.
Yes, Serbia and Montenegro, yeah.
It was even bigger. And I remember there was one friendly tournament with my generation national teams, but it just three games, something like that. It was a very small tournament. But in that weekend, we played with the older generation, we played derby game against Partizan. And the coach asked my coach from national team that if I can stay because I need the team needs me for the weekend. He said no problem, even this captain, this is friendly tournament. We want to give more minutes to the players we didn't see a lot. And then I stayed there. That was, I think, was Monday or Tuesday. On Wednesday, my generation had a game. And my coach said, yeah, just come here on Wednesday, you play. This is our last game in the league. You have until Sunday 5 days to recover. It's good for you to have mm-hmm. games. I make, I don't know what was it like. I took one ball from in what 70, 20 minutes. I took one ball in front of the guy. I start to lift up more and to go to the offense. And one guy made a tackle and break my leg.
And
was fracture of both bones in the middle of the. In the middle of the bones, it was. They have some kind of expression of this. It's not clean fracture.
It was a dirty fracture with, with those things that they are in.
And everything over in 1 second, everything went.
And I've heard that the recovery took a while.
Yeah, I had two operations. Uh-huh. First intervention was in one hospital. They need to. There was one kind of piece still holding up, and they need to break everything. Mm-hmm. I was in this, I don't know how you call this, white thing. What is in the leg?
Cast.
Yes, cast. The big one, very big one. Mm-hmm. And after 2 months, they saw that it doesn't heal like it should be. And I changed the hospital. They make operation. They put some metal things and stuff in the bone to connect all those parts. And in that period, my father, there's big chance that he will not play anymore football, any kind of sport. Of course, he didn't tell me never. And because of this kind of this long healing process, I couldn't start my trainings before because you cannot do anything mm-hmm. when the bone is not healed. And I remember it was like eight months. After 8 months, that was first time I was running.
Okay, so do you still have the metal?
No.
Parts?
This metal is outside the bone.
Ah, okay.
It's very ugly. And everybody who is seeing it, it makes them sick to look even on the bone. And it was crazy.
Okay, this caused that you didn't play for Crvena Zvezda, like the main team.
How I look this is special. For Red Star, that there was no one junior kid who came directly from academy to first mm-hmm. to the A team. You know, everybody who is talented, who have some skills and stuff like the future for this guy, you will always need to go to loan. Is it second division, first division, doesn't matter, but you need to play with senior football at least 1 year. That mm-hmm. you prove that you can manage with the old with professional football players with senior team. So I think this is the first reason I was not there, and the second reason is that it dragged me back a lot. That is the period when you're 15, you're in one step to be there, or mm-hmm. you're gonna have. Nothing or maybe something
it's
average.
It's very like small
line, but line. That even when you are healthy, it can came up. I saw so many very talented friends. They're not even playing football today, so they didn't have any injuries or nothing.
And you're kind of lucky to heal and still play professional football. It's like 17, 16 years later. Yes. So, but when you graduated from Crvena Zvezda Academy, you went to Sremska Mitrovica.
Yes. This is a first division team.
So like a second tier, first division mm-hmm. in Serbia. What was it like? I think you played quite a lot in there, even being only 19 years old.
Yes.
What was it like?
The players from Red Star. Mm-hmm. We played there, everybody went to a loan there. But after 1 year, something happened in Red Star. I don't know what. Exactly, but I think all the management from the club changed, and this agreement what was signed between these two teams just disappeared. You woke up one day and you are not anymore player of Red Star. You're player of Srem, mm-hmm. and the president of Srem was very nice to us. He knows what he have now. So why would I give somebody? Because I will, it was in, we was being paid by him, not by Red Star, in that moment. So I invest my money. So why you don't stay here? You're gonna have even more money. I was a captain, but the thing is that when you're a good player in this first division, there is not much clubs who want to pay for the. For the guy who is playing second league, you know, it's not first. It's first league. If you're playing in the top five, six teams, yes, even the lowest team in the top top league, they will not pay somebody. It's that now everybody was thinking, I will go, and then I was stuck exactly 3 years. First year for me was I saw that it was enough. I cannot even more develop there, but it was crazy. Then. You need to be there playing three years on the same level, watching your time is going. Players who are under you, they are playing even higher, better leagues than even Serbia. So I don't know how much I could be. Could I actually change something in that period? But. I was always professional, doing my thing and waiting the perfect moment to go.
And I think you found the perfect moment because...
Actually, the perfect moment came, I didn't find, just my contract ended and just go.
And you went to FK Sarajevo, which is, I can see the smile on your face because it was happy times, I think. Because I've seen your interview that you said you went to Sarajevo to escape the madness of Serbia. So. How did this move come to be? How did this come into fruition? Did they find you or something else?
In that moment, I was always central defender in my career, but in that moment in Serbia, when I was on loan, there was 1 year I played right fullback. And after that club, I was 1 month with the Super League team in Serbia, but they didn't want to sign me because of the president who was in Srem, in this club. I don't know what was this, but I just let me play, guys, people. Why? Okay, if you are a good player, I understand everybody wants you and they don't want to give you or something like this, but in my head was only just want to play, to have competition normal, to play. I want to develop myself. And they went for pre-season camp in Turkey or somewhere, I don't know. And I stayed there in an apartment and one day my agent called me and said, okay, I have one situation in Sarajevo. I heard about Sarajevo. I didn't know, I never went to the city or I didn't know the club so much. I know it's the biggest club in Bosnia.
Yeah, sure.
In that time, we didn't have so much TV broadcast from Bosnia to watch in Serbia. So even if it was, probably everybody was choosing Premier League or
Serie A
example. But but the thing was that they need a fullback, not central defender, because central defender they have already four of them, and only one fullback and. And I was like, yes, why you ask me? Of course, if they need a goalkeeper, I will go just to go away from here. And they were on pre-season camp in Croatia. I went there and I went through all this camp. We came back to Sarajevo. And this was the first time when I was in Sarajevo, in the city and in the club and everything. Then I realized how big this club is. Because in one training you can have 200 fans to give you support for the next game or something like this. And this beginning, I was so afraid that I want to show everybody that I can play here. Because I had in that moment 22, and all the players are 28, 9, 30, 31.
And you're still very young.
I'm still very young, yes. So I remember first two games I was on the bench, of course, because you're a new guy. And after these two games, third game was away game, we draw 0-0. And after that game, I was never on the bench again.
And in the very same summer, you also made debut in European football.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Because I've read that you played Hibernians FC, which is not Hibernian from Edinburgh, but Hibernians FC from Malta.
From Malta, yeah.
And you even scored a goal. what was it like? It was also a home game. So
yes.
what did the fans react when this like young 22-year-old defender who just came to the team
actually,
scored
the
goal?
I don't know, because I was so, I cannot say stressed, but focused on team, on play. But when you are so young, you know, and you hear, okay, we are playing against team from Malta. And I was thinking like this. When I was in Red Star, when I had 13, we had a national team game against Malta. Not national, it's like national team of Belgrade only. Like
the best players from
players
Belgrade.
From Vilnius, example.
Yeah.
This is like, and we had some tournament, tournament in Malta. And I remember we play against some teams. This is like 10-0, 15-0, 20-0. You know, some Hibernians are coming. Okay, guys, please. No, this is Europe. You know, they start to talk. You need to take seriously each game. Doesn't matter how they. So okay. And then game start to going on. So we were scoring four. Was in the end 5-2, and I scored for the fifth goal.
Yeah, the last one.
And for me, it was like, I didn't know where to go when I scored. And I was thinking, why do you need to celebrate this fifth goal? It's nothing important. But then strange thing happened. We went there for rematch. We were leading in the first 20-30 minutes, 3-1. Mm-hmm. 25th minute was 3-1 for us. In the end of the first half, we were losing 4-3. After 20 minutes, this is like 100 degrees outside in Malta in that period, in summertime. You cannot breathe. You have power for 15-20 minutes and everything. You're just looking them how they run. You're like zombie.
And they're used to that.
They're used to that. And also they have 2-3 Brazilian guys who are probably born in these kind of conditions, you know, and they're skillful and fast. It's impossible that it is the same players. Like 1 week ago, we played with these players, we can do whatever we want. Uh-huh. How is this possible? And then I saw my friend who's playing winger, he goes to, when he was running through, close to the bench, he grabs the ice from the bag and put here and run like this. Because it was really strange.
And how did the match end it?
4-4.
4-4, okay.
Somehow we scored, and that was, I remember that period was extremely, everybody was nervous because our next game was Levski Sofia, Bulgarian team who is one of the best was in that period, you know. When you say Levski in Balkan, everybody knows this name, it's big name, big club. I said we couldn't win against Malta, guys. What do you think we're going to do there?
And how did it go with against Levski?
Against Levski, we lost 1-0 in Sofia, and we won home 3-1.
Ah, okay.
So that was that is in my career one of the biggest games.
And one of the biggest like comebacks, because you lost the first game.
Yeah, but nobody was thinking even that we're gonna win. Nobody, for sure. And then in that period. In the streets in the summer in Sarajevo, everybody stops, everybody celebrating the streets, blocking all the traffic. You cannot move, you cannot even walk through the city that somebody is calling you, hey, even come here, sit with us, sit there. You are, I don't know, they say like a king or something.
So the next season, in the late 2013, the club was bought by Vincent Tan, which, all the fans of football, if they think that they have heard of Vincent Tan, so that's the same guy who bought the Cardiff City as well.
Yes, and Kortrijk.
And Kortrijk, yeah. Yes. So what changed when he took over?
Everything, I think.
Everything?
Yeah. Because in that moment, you were playing in the biggest club there, but you're playing just because of the love. If you think to earn money there, it was impossible. The club was really, really struggling. They always had the roots from ex management from the club, they always go into some depths with the players, with the staff, with the electricity and everything. They try to cut a little bit, and again, it's always fight, always some problems in this kind of stuff. And then this gentleman came and just invest in our club, and everything was like all the money you had, you didn't have. Immediately you have it, then you actually don't know how to react, you know, like, what you're going to do with this money.
And together with that, the first title in, I think, 9 years or so, came with the cup. You won the Bosnia.
Yeah, first came cup, and then next year after that was a title.
Yeah, what was it like to win the cup? Because you didn't play in the second game.
In the second game, I had yellow. I had yellow in the first game.
Because I checked, you played all the cup run except for the first and the last game. So what was it like to win the title? I think it meant a lot for the city and for the fans of that part.
Listen, from the first day when I came there, you have two things to think about: to beat Železničar, derby game, and to win the title. And imagine if you speak about that like 9 years all the time, about this 9 years. They're even, I think, they're sick mentally, even more fans, that because they are not winning. They are never even close to win in some seasons. Imagine Žalgiris to spend like 9 or 10 years without title. This is catastrophe, you know?
Yeah.
And when I now remembered it. Okay, for the cup, it was a good thing also, because we didn't won 8 years before that the cup, but cup actually doesn't bring you anything, just a safe position to play Europe next year. But with the title, it's totally different. With the title is, I remember the last game on our stadium, and after that whole celebration, when I showed the videos to my friends who are not from Balkan, said, this is not Bosnia, this is Mexico or something like that. I cannot explain that 40,000 people was in the streets in the centrum of the city. So when you just see a couple of photos from that day, you can see all the emotions. People are crying. People, I remember the last whistle in the game. I was in the pitch, tired from all the season and everything. I just want to go to dressing room to party with the friends, to celebrate this thing. I make 5 steps and I just look at myself. I was just in underpants. They took for
the fans took,
they took everything from me. I was just doing this and then take
it's just like, I don't know if you've seen the last official game of Ronaldinho.
Yes.
Where everyone just like took off. So, but also in the 2013, in the season of 2013-14, in the same season you won the cup, you got the, let me just check, Izmir Pintol trophy, which is like the best player of the team, but selected by the fans.
Yeah.
So what was it like to...
It's not like the best player, it's the player who are representing the best color of the club on the pitch. So who is the biggest fighter, who have the most emotions, who is every game giving 100% of themselves. And this prize came, I don't know, I think it was before me, about 10, 12 years ago, before this moment, one very young fan of Sarajevo died. He had a leukemia. And his last wish was to be buried with the colors of Sarajevo, you know. And this prize award is, I took it very emotional, because I never believed that they would give me, especially foreigner coming to their team. And one of the moments I will remember all my life.
And after you won the league, you participated in the Europa League qualifying, and you went all the way to the playoffs, playoff round, and you had that, I think, kind of a legendary game against Borussia Mönchengladbach at home. So you lost 2-3, but still, I think you scored first.
No, they scored.
They score, but you, but so yeah, but yes. I've watched the video. The stadium was full. So what was it like to play in this atmosphere? Was it it the same like in derbies or even something else?
No, in derby, you know that you must win. Here, you know that there is a small chance that you can make some good result, but it will be very stupid that you think that you can win against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Mm-hmm. Because in that moment when we was watching the draws, there was no better opponent than Borussia, and we got them. Mm-hmm. So it was like still very good opponents, but not like them. And we were thinking, okay, another catastrophe is coming. But actually, we had amazing coach. That was the coach who won cup that year. The last couple of games in that season, we won the cup with him, and he stayed through these qualifications with us. And this guy was always. He always standing behind the players, always like supporting us. Mm-hmm. He was more like a friend to us, who knows everything about football.
Who was he?
Janan Uštuplić. Okay. He's even now coaching the under maybe 19 or 18 in Sarajevo.
Okay.
And the thing is that we had a couple of choices like for the coaches, but if you don't understand the environment, you cannot be coached there. You need to be badass and nice guy in the same moment. And if you don't understand this, you cannot be the coach. And then they changed this coach. They put Jenan to be the coach. Even he didn't have a UEFA Pro license in that period.
Okay.
So he was there on the bench, but some other guy was with the UEFA Pro license, like just for the papyrology to be there, you know.
Yeah, like officially the manager.
But we step out. We had a very good gang there. I like to say, entourage. This every hotel we took before the games, so this European or domestic games, we was 15 or 20 players in one room. We were talking until midnight. Everybody was like. We see every day each other, but we still need more to talk, to hang out to each other. And we said, guys, tomorrow we go and we're going to show them what's football. We're going to dribble them or something. We just need to play, please. Whatever happened, don't stop to play. And after game, we were heroes. And actually, we put some small seed in the fans' mind that we can make some... big thing, you know, after this game, when they saw probably Borussia they are not used to play in this kind of atmosphere or 90 minutes, everybody shouting. Germany have good fans, but they are nice
they're
fans.
Different. Yeah, like yeah, they're nice.
They are singing and that's it. Everybody, this whole stadium, 40,000 people is singing. Same song like the ultras. It's crazy. Nobody's sitting on the stadium, everybody's standing. And okay, they were probably a little bit in the shock, and especially after we scored two goals, and they were thinking, okay. But when we went there, totally different story. We still wanted to play.
For those who don't know, you lost 0-7, yeah. And you got a second yellow card.
I got two yellow cards in five minutes, maybe less.
So there wasn't any comeback.
No chance. Then we realized on what kind of level they are. It's for me especially was totally another universe. The moment when you put one step on the stadium, you realize, my God, what is this?
And also in Sarajevo, another nice thing happened. You met your wife, and she was known as Dunja Pašić then. So how long after you met her, you realized that you're dating the daughter of FK Sarajevo legend and the legend of Bosnian football itself? Because so, I think it wasn't, at first you didn't know.
That was a funny story, because her father is legend of Sarajevo and Bosnian football, and even Yugoslavian football. He was playing for national team of Yugoslavia. And with Sarajevo in 1984, he won they won a championship. And he was quite often in the club. When we are there, we see each other. You say, obviously, hello, how are you? And this is it. And then my wife was always supporting, of course, Sarajevo. And one day she decided, I don't know why, she decided to text me.
I think because of the beard.
I didn't have this big, but and when I look at her, you know, in the pictures, I was for sure thinking somebody is fooling around with me. What is this? And but through the messages and stuff like this, I realized this is the real person. This is stuff. And one day she put, because I never take time to connect these two, because in I don't know how it is it here, but in Serbia we have some common last names.
Yeah,
they can
yeah.
match. But in my head, I never put together
it's
these two.
Pašić this, Pašić that. It's not this. No.
Then one day she put on Facebook page a picture with her father, Predrag Patrić Pašić. And I was thinking, look, this lunatic. She wants to prove that she is a fan of our club, and she put with the legend of Sarajevo. Why she do this now? what is in her head, you know? And then when I start to ask other guys who are from Sarajevo, yeah, this is her father. Oh my god!
did you have any like additional pressure?
No.
No.
No, I don't have this kind of thing. Okay. Because I have. When I met her, we started dating, and for me, this is the most important person in my life. So if I need to see, oh, he has a father who is this, it's his problem, it's not my problem. I'm with you, I'm not dating with your father, you know.
How did your father-in-law now, how did he react when he learned that you're dating the player of Sarajevo?
He was not happy.
He was not happy? Because he was a footballer?
Or? Yes, and he was a football player.
And
he knows what kind of philosophy we have, or whatever it is. He probably, in his young age, he made a lot of stupid things, like every footballer player was, and he was not happy. But after he met me,
It was right. But yeah, I want to talk about your wife a little bit more, because the fans of Žalgiris might not know, but she's quite famous on social media. And I've been following her on Instagram for a while now, when I first learned that she's the wife of the player of my team. And she also has a lot of subscribers on YouTube, like 160,000. So what's it like to be living with a social media celebrity?
Okay, but that was maybe active 1 year ago. And she is now in the current moment. She don't do this anymore, but she was working this. And for me, it was really strange. Because, and actually my wife is not, how you say it, it's blogger or what is it?
Video blogger.
Blogger. Okay. She's not, when you open and they speak about makeup, speak about what I saw all the day, every time, and I cannot watch this. She was making this kind of people around there, around her who were following. Because she was exactly on the video how she is in life. So, of course, if you have a baby, yes, if you have a baby and a dog and you live abroad, it's impossible that every time when you put something on the video that your house is clean, everything is perfect or something like this, you know. It's impossible. So she was like this, very honest. I have here a tomato stamp, here I have eggs, here is my kid, we are also, and everybody liked her because she was honest. It's not, don't show me the perfect moments. We have it also, everybody have perfect moments, but daily routine is not like that. So, and this is the one thing what I couldn't immediately fit in, that all my life I cannot open up very easy in front of everybody immediately. And she showed me just that it's normal, you just be yourself and that's it. The most easiest thing in the world is that you can be what are you, and that's it. And then I helped her. Okay, she was, please, come one time to be in video, everybody's asking where you are or something like this. And then I also participate in a couple of videos.
I've seen a couple of videos because I tried watching, but you know, the language barrier, and so just the fun parts when you just like apply makeup to her or something.
I'm really happy she made this, because in 20 years we're gonna still have videos our son growing up, you know.
It will be great to look back to
you don't need to have some special storage. And before was this videos cassette, but then CDs now extra
VHS's.
Yes, AVGS, yes, and now these external hard drives who suddenly one day stop working, you don't know why, but and all your information is there. But this is very nice. So
So okay, let's get back to the football. In the last season you only played half a season in Sarajevo, and then you went to Helsinki.
Yes.
So why did you leave Sarajevo? What happened then?
Yes, now I can speak about it, but probably in Balkan this is quite normal subject. Normal thing to happen to some player, but for me was very unexpected, and I didn't know how to react. In that moment I had 140 games for Sarajevo, for almost 4 years playing there, and won the title in the summer, and new coach came and just say one day you're free to go.
Okay.
And I was really sad, you know, because I felt that I'm home, you know. I was not even thinking to go. Because in that moment in the summertime and in the wintertime I had some offers to go to stay, and I was always thinking, I never wanted to. Yes, I'm gonna say to this agent, yes, I want to go to my club. I said, let's see how the thing, and everything was passing, because I really like to be there, you know. And not only me, it was from our champion generation was like 6-7 players in that moment. He just didn't want us there.
So just new coach decided.
New coach, yeah. He bring his own players, some players who didn't even play it after. He had the worst result in history of Sarajevo, I think, and everybody was realized that what he put us 5 years back now.
Yeah, so he just disbanded great
everything.
Team.
Yes, he destroyed the team, destroyed the club, everything, you know. And because after 9 years, when you win the title, this is great foundation to build up more and more. And after 9 years. Sacrificing club, so many people give all the time to put the club in that kind of level. You drop him down, and but as I said, I was thinking that I was sad in that moment. But after I realized I am 26, almost 27 in January, it's perfect time for me to go. Why you were sad, you know? And then, you know, when you're a free agent, everybody's calling you. We have club here, there. I just want some normal club again. Just normal club. I don't want to be the part of this kind of 6 months is here is good, and then a club goes to bankruptcy or something like this. I'm planning, I just married my wife. I'm planning to have a family. I don't need this turbulence in my life. I want to...
There's something stable.
Something stable, yeah. Actually, I had one episode. I was in Uzbekistan for 1 week in Bunyodkor club, where Scolari was coach, and Rivaldo, I think, finished career there, and they had this big new stadium and stuff like this. But structure of the club and everything, what I got on the contract was unexpected. I couldn't sign this. I said, thank you for your time, and your money is great, but this kind of contract I cannot sign. And I was 1 week there, came back and signed for Helsinki.
So what was it like to come from Balkans to Helsinki? Because I have a Macedonian friend who's been living in Lithuania for a while now, and he just hates Lithuanian winters, and Helsinki is even like more.
Oh, Helsinki is north. Yes, it's similar, but I live on Arctic Circle.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. So what was it like? What was your first impression when you just landed in Helsinki? And I think it was winter. So what was it like to...
Minus 15, I think, 20.
To experience that weather.
For me, yes, it's okay. I was expecting cold because it was winter time in Europe and everywhere. And for me, biggest impression was like, everybody knows their own job. Mm-hmm. If you go to your kit man and ask him about gym, he was going to look like this. It's not my business, my friend, go away. If you search for socks or something like this, okay. And then you, exactly, first day you learn where to go, what's this schedule stuff, and all the routine, what they have, you exactly know everything. And for me, it was like, finally. Finally, I don't need to think about 100 stuff. I just can be focused on football. And this was my probably this is because the Helsinki is the biggest club in Finland. Mm-hmm. I don't know in that moment how is the other clubs, but that was the first impression. And also the beginning of the season or even cup games. They have cup games because their season starting in April. Here is starting in March.
Yeah.
And they're starting April. And they put some cup games before, and mm-hmm. they play this in closed arenas, like we have Sportiva here. Uh-huh. This is first time I was playing inside. I see first time in my life indoor full pitch. We had in Serbia this futsal, small ones, but I never saw the full pitch like this, covered with for the fans. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first game was also derby, like we have here against Riterai. They have the Helsinki against also IFK Helsinki. This is team famous because of hockey also. They have great hockey fans and stuff like this. And this is called derby, city derby or something like this. And yeah, it was for me that beginning there was amazing.
And the season was it considered to be successful? Because you didn't win the league, but you were in the second place. Well, it wasn't considered to be successful.
No, because when I look back on that season, for me, we had amazing team. We had amazing, for me, it's unacceptable to that we didn't won. I cannot imagine that we didn't won 10 points in front of everybody. We lost in second last game, we lost the title. And when I just look what team we had, that was amazing. But something was not good.
So yeah, and then happened one of the most interesting changes in your career, in my opinion. You went to play for Rovaniemi, which is, I've checked the maps, it's like 4 kilometers from the Arctic Circle. And how did this move come to be? How did you decide to go there?
It was very interesting, this period, because that was the moment my son was born. Uh-huh. And we were, after that 1 year in Helsinki, I finished my contract. And again, after that, I played very good in the team. And I get a lot of offers, and some of the offers was really, really good, you know. I had one very good offer from Steaua Bucharest, and for me it was close to home, 2 or 3 years contract, and this is a team who is always playing Euro games, you know, like Champions League or the Europe League, and for me it was amazing. But this is the thing in football, if you don't have one dose of luck in this kind of negotiations and stuff, everything can disappear in one moment. And I was just keep going with this club to go through the negotiations and stuff like this, waiting. And one day everything disappeared, nothing, we couldn't get agreement. And I realized it is the end of the January, end of transfer period, you know. And I was thinking, my God, I have a kid now, and this team from North, Rovaniemi, they were calling me 15 days. And I know their average salary is there in every club. You cannot have one club like very small and big salary. I know what they can give me. I didn't want to talk with them, and it was not going.
Well, you were talking to Steaua, yes, which is a huge club.
And then I realized, but Ivan, please come here, please. I have very young team. We want to help us to stay, to not to go to relegations. We need to stay in the first in the top top league. And then I realized I cannot anymore gamble to wait. It's something going to, maybe it's going to happen in 5 days, but I cannot mm-hmm. take on this stress anymore, you know. And then I just say, okay, I'm coming. And I remember I'm going there. Okay, first thing you Google to see where you're going and stuff like this. And we have always these jokes in Serbia, and when something is very cold or something like this, this is a place where Santa Claus is living, you say. Okay. And I checked, and they say actually it's the official village of Santa Claus there.
Yeah, like Yolupuki lives there.
Okay, now my jokes from childhood is becoming true, you know. And when I landed there, I went alone to mm-hmm. to find apartment there, and to because I cannot travel it 20 days. My son was 1 month, not even 1 month. Mm-hmm. It was very small. I cannot go to hotels with a small baby. I would take hotel, and then I find an apartment, and then they will come back. I remember that morning before training was 11 or 12 o'clock. I was waking up, go to breakfast, and the guy is coming to hotel to take me to the stadium. And I remember watching in the reception this, you have outside temperature showed inside on some board. Mm-hmm. And I was looking like this, minus 18. And it was like middle of February or almost March or something like this. Mm-hmm. I said, well, it's impossible. I mean, and where we drink, it's outside, it's nice weather, there is no clouds. And when it's sun, it's very good. You don't need to go indoor. Crazy. Uh-huh. But actually, it was not so cold. Yeah, it was cold, but not like... The thing is, when there is no wind, it's amazing. Even you can get sunburn. Mm-hmm. But if it's a little bit wind, it goes through your body. I swear, I was feeling in my bones everywhere. I just kind of fell off if the wind comes. Next day was interesting that the hotel was very close to stadium. I didn't want to say this guy to come every day to pick mm-hmm. me. I'm not idiot. I don't know. I'm just going to walk. It's good for me to little bit see the city and stuff. I was walking by kindergarten, and I said, well, probably if my son grows here and one day he will maybe go here, and I will start to look, and I heard the baby scream, like not, but crying a little bit. Mm-hmm. And in front of the kindergarten, in the yard of the kindergarten, there is this wheels for baby, this, how you say?
Yeah,
baby. I don't know.
I but know what you're talking about.
they're like in the same line. Uh-huh. And I looked at all the babies outside sleeping. They're taking a nap outside. Mm-hmm. Why?
That's very common in Finland.
Yeah, this is. After that, I realized this mm-hmm. is their routine. They are sleeping when they have nap time. They're outside always. In Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, they always doing this. Yeah. Even during the lunchtime. The parents, they go inside to take a meal, and they put baby mm-hmm. outside, he's sleeping, they eating, and that's normal. And after that, I practice this with my son, and I discovered that when he's sleeping outside, he can take a nap for 2 hours. I mm-hmm. put him inside, he sleep 5 minutes and wake up.
Yeah, because it's very clear weather.
Yes,
and
the oxygen.
It's good
and
for
everything,
your health.
Yes.
So, what was the season like? Didn't you get tired of traveling very far? Because I've checked that, like the nearest team other was like 100 kilometers.
Yes.
Kemi,
yes.
And then other nearest was in Kuopio, which was like 500 kilometers.
Yeah, 7 hours with the bus. Yes.
So what was it like to be traveling this way? And you were traveling with the bus?
That closer one, 500 kilometers with the bus.
Closer one.
In Helsinki, in Turku, we went with the train. You have night train. You take night train and you travel all night, about like 12 hours. You have sleeping cabins. Mm-hmm. You go there, and in the train will stop. It's like normal. You go to bed, you take your maybe laptop, you watch some movies and stuff like this. It's good. In the bus, I didn't like the bus. Mm-hmm. That's for me, because it's always.
Yeah, because the train is more stable.
Stable, it goes 140, 50 per hour, and you don't even. You just wake up in the morning, go to buffet, and take your breakfast, and go to the game.
So you spend the season there,
yeah,
and then you went to another very interesting place, in my opinion. You went to play for Mariehamn, which is in Åland Islands, which is a very nice place. I think it's
in summer.
In summer, yeah. It's a nice place to visit as a tourist. So what was it like to be living there and playing there and taking ferries to the games, I think?
It's like ferries, but this is ships, actually.
Okay. These
like big cruisers, I don't know what's the name. Yeah, after that season in Rovaniemi, because I signed only for 1 year there, mm-hmm. I was searching because I had a small kid. I was searching for the club who will provide me more than 1 year contract. And this team called me, and that was the team who won in front of us before
when you played in Helsinki. Yeah.
And that is what dragged me there, you know, to some club with the history, and also. For the family, I think was in that moment was perfect for the small city. Mm-hmm. It's not even a city; it's a very small city. But everybody lives in these islands, and in the city you have a couple of companies where they work. Mm-hmm. But full of nature and very very peaceful place. Very peaceful place, and also you have. You see is all around you in the summertime, because this is a lot of islands. Mm-hmm. The water is very it's very shallow, you know, it's not deep. When it's shallow it's warm, but mm-hmm. when it's deep you cannot go. They're going for the swimming Finnish people or something. So I said never, I will never go in this water, please, because when it's very cold I don't like it. And it was very nice in the summertime to go with the kid there and play in the water, because you know you cannot drive there, drown there.
Yeah.
So it was very nice.
Yeah, but you this team when you played there you didn't win the league. So how did the season
because
go?
I had not bad, but my perception of this team was I was expecting much much more. And then I realized that our second or third coach is washing our stuff after trainings. So their budget
not
is...
Not that professional.
It's not, they are professional, but by the budget. They mm-hmm. have small budget, and if he can work, if our, who was this? Accountant from the club, mm-hmm. he can make breakfast for the team in the morning. He will make breakfast. This is like it's like family thing, you know.
Okay.
Everybody's helping,
like DIY, do it yourself,
something like this. Yeah. And what I realized that in that period when I came, they lost. They had very big sponsor, this Puff casinos, and they were also sponsors of Atletico Madrid. They couldn't be a sponsor of the club because our league is Veikkaus Liiga. This is gambling, another
gambling company.
So you cannot have this kind of, because it's crossing the rules. And they were struggling a lot with the money and the stuff, but it's very, very nice. Like it's different than rest of the Finland on the main island.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of, I know that this is a great place to go fishing.
Yes,
my father-in-law went there, I don't know, 3 years in a row or so, just to Åland Islands.
I was 10 times there on the fishing. I didn't believe this.
So, so yeah, after Åland Islands, you went back to the mainland, you went to Croatia. What was it like playing quite close to the home?
The main reason I came back is because of that. And they gave me more money than in Finland, mm-hmm. and I was that was my perception that I'm gonna have more money. I'm closer to home. I can save more, and the biggest thing is that this league is very, very good. They developed in the past 10 years, their league is amazing. They invest so much in football, in the stadiums, in the fields, especially in the fields. They build for every team a new hybrid fields. And when you see that one Dinamo Zagreb is every season is playing Champions League mm-hmm. or Europa League, so this is a totally different level than Finland. Actually, they were calling me even a year before, and I had contract, so I couldn't move. But now I make agreement. I had 2 years contract in Mannheim, mm-hmm. and I broke my contract to move there. And signed 2 years, 2 years there, in mm-hmm. in Croatia.
But you played only half a season there, I think.
More, a little bit more than mm-hmm. than this. And when I came there, from some reason, club stopped paying us. Was disaster. And so you had two options: to forgive about your money and go, or to stay there and make file them to court. You know, mm-hmm. so it's very situation. I will not wish any player in the world to have this kind of stuff, especially when you have a family and kids, and that's very nothing about football anymore.
At the start of 2020, you arrived to Žalgiris. So when did Žalgiris came into the picture, and did you know anything about the club, and how did this move come to be? I think that's the most interesting thing for everyone who's watching here.
In Croatia, I was I told myself I will start to, if I find by the end of this transfer period some club. Because in that moment, in the half of the transfer window, I didn't even search nobody because I had the contract, and nobody even started to negotiate with mm-hmm. me because I have contract. That's very simple. But now I realized, if I stay here, I need to go from court to court with this club to take my money back, or I can just forgive them, take this money, but just give me paper so I can go. Mm-hmm. And now in that couple of days, in this period, my agent, because he had also players before here, he was asking me what you think about Žalgiris, because they need. Then I called Andrija Kaludjerović, mm-hmm. he was here. I spoke with him. I played also in Croatia with Komnen Andrić, who was mm-hmm. here.
Yeah, yeah, he
was. And Matija Ljujić also mm-hmm. said a lot of exactly what they said. That's what I expect when I arrived here. Only one thing was missing, that again, I was Googling where I'm going mm-hmm. to the city and stuff like this, and you cannot find on the Google what you can find in person here, because it's mm-hmm. much, much better city. I didn't expect it, this kind of city. It's amazing that, I don't know why the people from Lithuania, they don't push a little bit more Vilnius, because it's very, very beautiful city.
But the start of your arrival and the start of the season was like we haven't ever seen before, because the pandemic started.
Yeah.
So what was it like to be living in a new town, in a new city at the start of the season with a new team, and it just happens, these things that have never happened before?
It started amazing. I came in 6th of February, mm-hmm. and already they had 20 days before, they have already trained the team. Actually, after I heard that even we changed the coach in that time. started with one, ended with another, and stuff like this. And I came here, played 2-3 games, friendly games, and we have this Super Cup game against Suduva. And mm-hmm. It was cold outside, we play inside. This was a little bit for me, why we play inside, because it's cold, even outside everything is frozen and stuff like this. I understand, it's like mm-hmm. Finland. And we just started this kind of thing, and this, whatever it is, mm-hmm. It came that in that moment you don't know how this is going to last.
Yeah,
it's 5 days, 10 days, two months, or maybe a year, nobody know. Mm-hmm. And actually our president told us that if we let us go home now, there was big possibility that when you come back, you need to go in quarantine. We're going to lose you for 15, 20 days. We don't know nothing. So we just stayed there, having our programs. We actually was one period you couldn't even go outside without like in pairs or something like this. It was, I don't know. For us was in 1 or 2 weeks was like interesting to look this video. I don't know, we're watching BBC or something all over the world. This catastrophe everywhere and stuff like this. And you spend a lot of time with the family, but after 2 weeks, you don't know what to do. You don't go to job. You're staying all day in the house. You're gonna kill each other one day in the house.
So you know? your family was with you.
All the time. And then my life is training, games, home, and always in some kind of movement. You're wasting a lot of energy of this daily routine stuff. And then you go to sleep one night, you go to sleep 11 or 12. Next night you go to sleep 2, 3. You have a feeling that you don't need to sleep anymore because
you don't have to do anything.
And okay, we had some kind of program scheduled to have trainings. This you cannot make something in the apartment. It's very difficult to have some cardio, chance, if you have this track inside, but okay, you don't. Then you just need to invent some kind of trainings and stuff like this. Spending, even my son was like, "Dad, please go away from me, I cannot watch you anymore." But I don't know.
So what was it like to win the league at the very last game?
Oh,
it was. I think it was a lot of emotions there. Yeah.
This is the thing that again in the end of this game should happen 2 weeks before that.
Yes.
And again because of this, you know that how the time goes and how the game's going. That you're gonna have in the end probably the last game. It can happen that you decide the title because in one period we were behind Sudova eight points, and even then nobody believed that we can catch them, you know, maybe the fans. I don't know what was in their mind, and but you know, you believe that we can. If we manage to catch them, we're gonna manage to win the league. This is 100% sure. We catch them, and in the end, everything left for the last game, and you are preparing for this game, and they say no, it's not on 31st, it's on 6th, and they say no, it's not on 6th, it's on 8th. No, it's actually on 12th. And then this is the thing, when you have game from week to week, you are preparing your body and your mental mental energy for that game. You're holding back emotions when it's Saturday comes that you are full there. But now you go up and then go down. You go up and then you go down. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to feel anymore. But when this day came, this is the day. When we are in hotel preparing for the next day game, and when we see the bus that we're going to stadium, they cannot put again another date. So this is the thing. And I think last year we had amazing atmosphere inside the dressing room, and the guys who were there, experienced guys and with good careers, and we were really like together. And I think this is the biggest the biggest plus for Žalgiris, because everybody is feeling like family atmosphere. Not like you can do what you want, but If we have problem with outside factor, everybody's gonna kick this outside factor. But if inside, you need to have, you know, who is the father, who is the mother, who is the oldest brother or youngest brother. So everybody can find themselves in these kind of roles.
Because I just watched an interview with Gustas Jarusevičius recently, and he said that you're basically the one of the guys that he talks the most. And so how important is for you, like you're, I don't want to use the word veteran, but you're a quite seasoned player. You've played for a while. How important is for you to help these young players and help them to become best players?
When I was in Finland, I had in Mannerheim, actually, we had this kind of gathering with the mentors, and I discovered in that time a lot of things about mental, some kind of mental preparation, psychological things. Mm-hmm. I was thinking one thing all my life, and somebody opened my eyes, this is totally another thing, and I know how to solve this kind of problem, I know how to approach this problem, I know how to deal with this problem. And in especially with the young players, I see this problem far away. Mm-hmm. And they don't know even that they're going to have this problem, but I know where they're going to be stuck. The thing is that my first reason why I want to have a kind of connection with them is that they need to feel that it's very safe to open somebody, to say, because if it's impossible that everything is perfect for you. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. You have, especially when you're a young player and not experienced player without games in A Liga, that you know everything about this. Even don't know. But for sure you have. And then this was my main goal, to let them to see that they can come to me and ask. When probably there is moments in the trainings or day daily routines that they want to ask, but they see some foreigner 30 something with the beard, you know, what he knows about me or something like that. And time by time, it's very important to have the both sides who can manage this kind of stress situations. But of course, when we celebrate, when we work, when we solving the problems, we can solve the problems, always come to me. And that's it.
Okay, and the last question of this chat: have you ever thought, if not for football, what would you be doing now?
There is a lot of things I'm interested in, mm-hmm. but I never imagined that. I cannot imagine if I do these things, if they will keep me like football for 15 years or something like this. Maybe if I work this kind of stuff for 2-3 weeks, it's going to be, I cannot do this anymore. I don't see myself in the office, that's for sure. This is killing me. Like when I was a kid, if you put me in the apartment, in the room, mm-hmm. I'm going to explode. But one thing I have enormous always power to learn, to listen, to watch, to do is airplanes. I like I would like to be a pilot one day, even for the small ones, Cessnas. In my city actually now have a school for the pilots.
Okay.
We have some small service. They are managing these small planes in this, and this is even when I was young, during the games, my father came after the game and say, "Even please, can you not look the airplanes where you're playing football, please?" And this is one of my hobbies, like what would I like, but if that can be my job, I'm not sure.
Because I know you started building racing drones.
Yes.
So it's something.
I want to be connected with the flying, you know, just to give me something, you know. I know I cannot go to learn now with the football. I cannot learn to be a pilot or something like that. Even if I have this license, how I will drive, you know. But with these kind of things, yes, I can manage to see. I'm quite good with this electronic stuff.
Okay.
And I understand. But I'm fast learner when I see something. When I see that somebody makes something, when I see how it's made, I know it's possible to make. Mm-hmm. When I look the finished product, I'm not sure how did you came for this. But when I see step by step by the schemes and the stuff like this, and when I build first my drone, then I knew everything. Then mm-hmm. it was very easy, maybe for me, but who don't? I think you need to love this to understand. If you don't like this and you do just to do, everything is hard then.
Yeah, but it's a good thing that you found football.
Yes. All football found me, I don't know.
Okay, so thank you for chatting with me, and yes. Good luck with the rest of the season. Good luck with all your future endeavors, and say hi to your wife and your kid from me.
Thank you so much for calling me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.